This is your strategic briefing for February 13, 2026. I'm coming to you today with a development that should fundamentally reshape how you think about institutional resilience in America. What began as a state-level corruption investigation in Minnesota has now emerged as something far more concerning, a case study in how domestic political failures can become vectors for international terrorism financing. The numbers alone are staggering. $9 billion in pandemic-era fraud. But the geopolitical calculus here runs much deeper than financial crime statistics. Senate testimony this week alleges that Minnesota's Attorney General, Keith Ellison, met with operators of the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme for 54 minutes in December 2021. 9 days after that meeting, his campaign received $10,000 in contributions. The FBI raided those same fraud operators in January 2022. Now, here's where this transcends state politics and becomes a national security concern. Testimony alleges these funds didn't just disappear into offshore accounts. They allegedly flowed to terrorist organizations, criminal networks, and human trafficking operations. We're looking at a potential terrorism financing channel operating through what should have been routine food assistance programs. The strategic implication is profound. Emergency funding mechanisms deployed without adequate oversight become exploitable vectors at precisely the moment when federal-state coordination gaps are widest. Let me walk you through the timeline failures, because this is where you see the systemic breakdown. Whistleblowers were reporting fraud as early as 2019. State authorities allegedly had evidence but failed to act. Federal intervention only materialized after the political contributions and alleged interference promises. We're talking about a multi-year gap between initial warnings and enforcement action. This pattern of delayed response creates windows of opportunity measured not in days or weeks, but in years, during which bad actors can operate with relative impunity. The broader pattern here extends far beyond Minnesota. During crisis response periods, rushed emergency programs with weak oversight mechanisms create exactly these conditions. The alleged intersection of political fundraising, state law enforcement obstruction, and international money laundering reveals a vulnerability architecture that likely exists in multiple jurisdictions. Building on that concern, we should expect investigations to expand to other state pandemic programs where similar oversight gaps may have been exploited. The question isn't whether similar schemes exist elsewhere. The question is scale and scope. Now let's shift to the technology competition landscape, where America's semiconductor reshoring initiative is hitting a constraint that could undermine the entire strategic autonomy effort. The issue isn't innovation capacity or capital availability. It's something more fundamental: energy infrastructure. Advanced chip fabrication facilities consume electricity at levels comparable to major data centers. As both sectors scale simultaneously, we're creating compounding infrastructure demands that current grid capacity simply cannot support. Think about the strategic absurdity of this scenario. You successfully reshore semiconductor manufacturing, you build state-of-the-art facilities, you develop the workforce, and then you discover you can't operate at capacity because the electrical grid can't handle the load. You've effectively rendered billions in reshoring investments moot while your competitors advance unimpeded. The shifting geography of power in technology competition now revolves around foundational infrastructure capabilities rather than pure innovation. Years of systematic underinvestment have created deficits that market forces alone cannot remedy. This requires coordinated policy interventions across regulatory reform, patient capital deployment, and workforce development. More importantly, it's reshaping alliance structures. Our dependencies on allied nations for precision machine tooling and critical materials processing are creating new forms of technological interdependence. We're seeing bloc formation around technological capabilities rather than traditional ideological or geographic alignments. Let me be clear about where America maintains advantage and where vulnerabilities exist. On the strength side, AI stack development leadership remains robust. Our precision jet engine manufacturing superiority reflects decades of ecosystem development that competitors cannot easily replicate. Deep capital markets and innovation infrastructure provide structural advantages that are difficult to duplicate. But on the vulnerability side, we've lost precision machine tooling leadership to allies, creating new dependencies. We have severe rare earth elements processing deficiencies that expose supply chain fragility. And now, energy infrastructure underinvestment threatens to bottleneck the entire reshoring initiative. The strategic calculus here is straightforward. Technological leadership in the 21st century depends on unglamorous foundational capabilities like electrical grid capacity, rare earth processing, and precision tooling.
These aren't areas where venture capital flows naturally. They require patient, coordinated policy interventions and infrastructure investment at scales we haven't attempted in decades. Turning to information warfare, we're witnessing sophisticated evolution in tactics and accelerating bifurcation between democratic and authoritarian information ecosystems. Russia's systematic blocking of social platforms represents not a tactical response to current events, but a decades-long strategy toward the Chinese and Soviet model of information control. This approach aims to create an alternative digital reality for domestic populations while simultaneously conducting external disinformation campaigns. Let me explain what makes this particularly concerning. When we analyze incidents like Olympic disqualifications, we see how resource-dependent international organizations become vectors for geopolitical influence. Russian oligarchs systematically leverage financial power over non-commercial sports that lack the capitalization of commercial leagues. These organizations become dependent on that funding and therefore susceptible to influence operations. The fake negotiation initiatives we're tracking demonstrate coordinated disinformation at an operational level. Moscow delegation rumors circulate without traceable sources, designed to buy time while maintaining plausible deniability for international audiences. The sophistication here lies in the inability to trace origins, suggesting coordination across multiple channels with careful operational security. Building on that theme of information ecosystem fragmentation, we're seeing parallel developments in American media consumption that reveal accelerating cultural fractures. Nielsen implemented enhanced measurement systems in September 2024, incorporating millions of data points from set-top boxes and smart TVs. Despite this technological manipulation designed to inflate viewership metrics, Super Bowl ratings actually declined. If these numbers are accurate, we're witnessing the failure of traditional mass media to maintain unified national audiences, even with methodological advantages designed to boost figures. The economic implications run to hundreds of millions in advertising revenue, but the geopolitical significance lies in the breakdown of shared cultural touchstones that historically unified diverse domestic audiences. When even the Super Bowl, with measurement systems designed to maximize apparent viewership, cannot maintain audience levels, you're seeing fundamental fragmentation in the information environment. Meanwhile, Ukrainian military tech innovations signal emerging asymmetric capabilities that challenge traditional hierarchies. Cyber operations exploit Starlink vulnerabilities, while drone warfare achieves unprecedented damage-to-cost ratios. These developments indicate how technological innovation at smaller scale can generate strategic effects that previously required nation-state resources. We're entering an era where the barriers to entry for asymmetric capabilities are dropping rapidly. Several incidents this week reveal escalating tactics in domestic political polarization and challenges to elite legitimacy. Confrontational activism at a celebrity's Los Angeles residence represents tactical escalation in culture war dynamics. Demonstrators moved from online criticism to physical demonstrations at private residences, designed to expose perceived contradictions between public advocacy and private security practices. The demonstrator contrasted presumed support for open borders with personal use of dates, cameras, and security systems, leveraging immigration policy debates to delegitimize cultural influencers. The willingness to physically confront cultural figures at their residences suggests growing anti-establishment sentiment willing to employ more aggressive tactics. This contributes to broader erosion of traditional elite influence and may indicate shifting power dynamics where populist movements increasingly challenge establishment voices through direct action rather than traditional political channels. Additionally, we're seeing ICE being positioned as a key component of World Cup security apparatus, which reveals tensions between security imperatives and diplomatic soft power considerations. Questions about wrongful incarceration potentially hurting the entire process indicate awareness that enforcement incidents during high-visibility international events could generate diplomatic ramifications beyond immediate contexts. Let me synthesize the second-order effects we should be tracking. The Minnesota fraud case may trigger cascading investigations of other pandemic-era programs, potentially revealing similar patterns of state-level interference and fraud at scale. This could accelerate institutional legitimacy erosion in ways that compound existing trust deficits. On the technology-energy nexus, as semiconductor and AI infrastructure compete for limited energy capacity, expect intensifying political battles over energy project approvals and potential regulatory reforms to accelerate deployment. The political economy of infrastructure investment is about to become a central battleground in technology competition. Regarding information ecosystem bifurcation, the Russian information isolation model combined with domestic fragmentation suggests convergence toward multiple parallel realities operating with minimal overlap. This complicates both domestic governance and international diplomacy in fundamental ways. How do you conduct negotiations when different populations are literally operating from incompatible information foundations? The critical uncertainties we're monitoring, whether energy infrastructure constraints will materialize as predicted or if market responses prove adequate. The extent of pandemic fraud across other states and federal programs beyond Minnesota. Whether Ukrainian asymmetric capabilities represent a replicable model or context-specific innovations. and the sustainability of bipartisan consensus on technology competition amid intensifying domestic polarization. Current dynamics resemble historical periods of institutional stress, where multiple systems fail simultaneously rather than sequentially. Governance oversight breaks down, as we see in the fraud case. Infrastructure deficits constrain strategic initiatives, as we see in technology competition, and information environments fragment, as we see in both Russian operations and domestic media consumption. Such convergent failures historically precede significant political realignments or institutional reforms. The question is whether existing structures adapt or new frameworks emerge to replace them. The specific signal to monitor in the next 48 hours, watch for any indications that federal investigations are expanding pandemic fraud investigations beyond Minnesota to other state programs. That expansion would confirm this is a systemic vulnerability rather than an isolated incident, and it would signal the beginning of a much larger institutional accountability crisis. Stay vigilant. Until tomorrow.